Good morning, everyone. And I thank all of you for being here on another gorgeous day. We're so thankful for our visitors, and we wish they'd come back all the time. But we do appreciate it when you're here. We are thankful for the good health of all of us, except our sister Fran, and I know we all keep her in our prayers. I want to talk to you this morning about the baby in the manger, the truth about the baby in the manger. An 8-year-old girl went with a group of family and friends to see Christmas display lights at different locations around the city. They stopped at one house to look more closely at a beautiful nativity scene set up on the front lawn. "Isn't it beautiful?" said the little girl's grandmother. "Look at all the animals, Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus." "Yes, Grandma," replied the little girl. "It's really nice, but there's one thing that bothers me. Isn't baby Jesus ever going to grow up? He's the same size as he was last year." Innocent observations from this little girl. But for some people, even those who call themselves Christians, their image of Jesus has never really grown up in their lives and their understanding. Many have a weak and insufficient comprehension of Jesus, and as a result, they remain lost to God. Here's something to think about. It is possible that some of us could hold a view of Jesus that is insufficient for salvation. Jesus is much more than a cute little baby in a manger. For our study today, I want us to learn the truth about that baby in the manger. I want us to look at the first chapter of the Gospel of John and look at some important truths about that baby who grew up to be the Savior of the world. John was a close disciple of Jesus. Although he was not there to witness the birth of Jesus, he was an eyewitness to his ministry. John walked with the Lord. He talked with the Lord. He listened to the claims that Jesus made for 3.5 years. John simply wrote down what he saw and heard and what was revealed to him. Let's read 1 John 1:1. This morning I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, ESV. 1 John 1 and verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life." Now let's go back to the book of John. The book of John in chapter 1 and read verses 1 through 18. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all may believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light." Verse 9, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." Verse 12, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." Verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Now, brethren, these verses contain deep theological truths in this passage. I don't have time, and it's not within our scope of the message this morning to deal with everything that John says in these 18 verses. But I do see some important answers that John reveals to us about the baby in the manger. Who was the baby in the manger? Well, John, chapter 1, verse 17 says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus Christ said thoughtlessly, carelessly, flippantly, and cursing by unbelievers, spoken thoroughly, respectfully, and gracefully by those who believe in him. The name Jesus is special. It wasn't a name that Mary and Joseph chose. It was a name given to the Lord through the angel of the God. Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, the name Jesus given by God means the Savior, which is clear reference to what he came to do. Now, the word Christ. What is Christ? Well, it's not his last name, but it's his title. It's a Greek equivalent to the Hebrew word Messiah. Andrew told his brother Peter in John 1:41, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. Why is that important? Because this title tags Jesus with hundreds of prophecies given by God in the Old Testament that will identify him as the Anointed One. This name is special. Matthew begins with the words, the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ. Mark begins his with the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Luke uses the name Jesus over 100 times and the title Christ over 10 times in his gospel. And here in our text, John, in the very first chapter, tells us the name Jesus Christ. Peter would say that there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved in Acts 4 and verse 12. The name of Jesus was precious to the early believers, and it should be to us as well. Here's what we need to understand before we go any further. Your eternal destiny depends on how you respond to the name Jesus Christ. Nothing else will matter. 100 years from now, all that's going to matter is your response to Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. Look again at verse 14 of John chapter 1. And we have seen his glory as of the only Son begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. All of us know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Yes, brethren, Jesus was conceived and birthed by his human mother, Mary. His actual father was God. The angel Gabriel told Mary, Jesus' mother, when she asked how it could be that she, a virgin, would give birth to a child. Let's look with me at Luke 1:35. Mary wanted to know how she could be give birth being a virgin. But Luke 1:35 tells us, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, Son of God. Jesus was not just another child. He was born like no other man. He was called the Son of God, not a Son of God. He was the only begotten from the Father. Begotten and only means one of a kind or unique. He is the Son who is exactly like his Father in all attributes. John also tells us that this baby born in the manger is the Word, the Word. Verse 1 again, in the beginning was the Word. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why is Jesus called the Word? Well, look with me at Hebrews chapter 1 if you would. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Matthew 17:5 says, and why don't we look at that too? Matthew 17:5. This is God the Father talking here. God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. Notice again, he is not called a word, but the word. Jesus wasn't just another spokesman for God, he was the spokesman. Jesus exemplified the message. Everything about Scripture is seen in Jesus. To look at Jesus as only a great teacher diminishes his actual identity as the Word. He didn't just teach the Word of God, he was the Word of God. I hope by the end of this message that you will see that Jesus Christ is far more than a cute story told at the end of December. We need to grow up in our understanding of him. So who is this baby in the manger? Let's go to John 1:1 again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John here speaks of his deity. He existed in the beginning. Verse 15 of John chapter 1, John makes a reference to John the Baptist. He says in verse 15, "John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.'" What's significant about that, do you think? Well, John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus, and we read about that in Luke 1:36. Yet he says he existed before his conception in Mary's womb. Jesus existed in the beginning, brethren. In the beginning. Why? When in the beginning God created heaven and earth, in Genesis 1:1, Jesus the Word was present. It's not true that he came into existence after the creation of the world or even when he was conceived in Mary's womb. Jesus himself, when he was being accused by the Jews of making himself out to be greater than their ancestor Abraham, he told them, "Before Abraham was born, I am." John 8:58. His enemies knew exactly what the meaning was behind his words. In the very next text, they picked up stones to kill him for blasphemy because he was claiming to be an attribute that was only true of God. Now, Jesus was the agent of creation. John spoke about the role of Jesus in creation. In John 1, verse 3, John said, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Think about that. Everything that was made by our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did Jesus exist in the beginning of creation, he existed before the beginning as the one who created all that we see around us. John was not some rogue apostle either, who made this up and veered away from the teachings of Jesus' other apostles. To prove that, I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. I want you to look at the words of the Apostle Paul in Colossians 1 and verse 16. The Bible says, "For him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through him and for him." As clear as it is in this scripture, there are people who try to deny this. They'll say, how could he be God if, as John says, he was with God? You can't have it both ways, they say. They say that, but that's illogical. You can't be. Well, it is illogical if our preconceived notion is that Jesus was limited by the restrictions of humanity, which he wasn't. You or I cannot be someone and be with someone at the same time. But never can you or I speak something that doesn't exist into existence. We can't do that. We can't heal the sick or raise the dead. And based upon scriptures we looked at, you're going to have a hard time all the way through the Bible when it speaks of the one who was born a baby in a manger because he claimed to be much more than that. He claimed to be God. And if that's true, then all of our human logic is off the table. I want you to go back to the Old Testament with me for just a moment to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Let's look at verse 6. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Isaiah wrote, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I want all of us to think about it. Think about it. The tiny little baby in the manger, not even room for him in the inn, was the Creator come to earth. So here's the next question about this baby born in a manger. What was the Creator doing lying in a manger in a stable being taken care of by poor parents, one who wasn't even his real father? So you ask, what was his mission? Well, look at John 1 and verse 14 again. John says something of his mission in verse 14. John chapter 1, he says, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the Word, was God. Now we begin to see why he came. John says he came to dwell among us. So why would he do that? Well, look at John 1, verses 4 and 5 one more time with me. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Light equals truth, darkness, sin. In a dark world, Jesus came to shine the light of truth. Truth about what? Truth about God, that's what. Look at John 1:18 again. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Jesus came to reveal his Father. If you want to know what the Father is like, look at Jesus, study his life, see what he was passionate about, learn what made him tick, then you'll know God. The 12, the apostles, struggle with understanding. Remember, Philip blurted out, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." How did Jesus reply? He said, "Have I been so long with you and you still do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." But there's one more thing I want us to see about Jesus' mission. He came to adopt us into God's family. Adopt us into God's family. John said in verse 12 of John 1, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." What an incredible, incredible blessing. What an opportunity. How great is it, the kingdom of God, there are no orphans. Think of it. In the kingdom of God, there are no orphans. Paul told the Galatians in Galatians 3:26, he says, "For in Christ you are all sons of God through faith." Let's look at 1 John 3 and verse 1. 1 John. 1 John 3 and verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God." Think about that. The children of God. Now we know there's two ways to enter a family. You're born into a family. If you're born into it, you have no choice. Then there's adoption. That's the second. You're chosen. You're very special. I want you to look at Ephesians 1 and verse 5 with me. "He predestinated us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will." When a child is chosen, they're brought into the family, given the same love, care, and privileges as everyone else in the family. They're not looked at as any less a child. I read this story about a minister in Vermont. tell us how a Bible class teacher was registering the children for the vacation Bible school, and she asked two brothers their age and their birthday. One of the two boys said, "We're both seven. My birthday is April the 8th, and my brother's birthday is April the 20th, 1976. The teacher was a little confused, and he said, "But that's impossible." Well, the other brother said, "No, it's not. One of us is adopted." Before she was even aware that what she had asked, the words came about, "Well, which one of you adopted?" Well, the boys looked at each other and they smiled. Then one of them said, "We asked Dad that a little while ago, and he just said he loved us and he couldn't remember anymore which one was adopted." There's nothing more wonderful to remind yourself of day by day than this great fact. If you are a Christian, you are a child of the living God, adopted and born into His family. Now, God has offered us a place in His family by adoption through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:18, we need to turn there, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. The Bible says, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Because we are His children, He has given us every spiritual blessing." There's a lot involved in the idea of being a child of God. It means more than having your sins forgiven. It means that we are in the Father's will now, that we're in His family. We're in His will. I want to go back to Galatians just real quickly, if you would. Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 29 together. Galatians 3 and verse 29. The Bible says, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Brethren, we stand to collect an incredible inheritance." Think of it. We collect an incredible inheritance. The story is told of a lawyer who hired a detective agency to locate a missing heir who had just inherited $120 million. But the head of the agency told the lawyer, "I put our best detective on the case. She's young, she's smart, and she's ambitious. She'll find your missing heir if anyone can." A few weeks later, the lawyer received a call from the female detective. She said, "I've got good news. I've found your missing heir." The lawyer said, "That's great, that's great. Where is he?" She said, "Oh, he's right here with me at the hotel, and we'll see you as soon as we get back from our honeymoon. By worldly standards, that detective was smart and ambitious. She wanted to be a part of that inheritance. And when you realize the magnitude of the offer being made by God through Christ, it's hard to pass up the opportunity to be a part of God's inheritance. And because Jesus came into the world, the inheritance offered by God is there for the taking, brethren. Now you have a choice. Will you accept the offer to be in God's family? So we ask now, how was the baby in the manger received? Let's look again at John 1 and verse 5. "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it," did not comprehend it. This has to be the ultimate irony. God, the God of the universe, stooping all the way down to become a baby in a manger in all-out effort to communicate to those created in His image, and they are so caught up in the willful darkness of sinful lives that they don't even recognize Him. Remember John 1 and verse 11? He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. Not even the people of His birth, the Jews, received Him. Was it God's fault? No. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Let's read together verses 20 through 23. Romans 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 22, claiming to be wise, they became fools. In verse 23, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Brethren, when man creates a God in his own image, then he believes he can do whatever he wants because he is without God who is greater than himself. But this was not a failed mission. This was no failed mission. Some did receive him. As many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. To receive him means much more than just accepting he was born into the world. It means receiving and accepting who he is and making him the Lord of your life every day. Too many want to start at the manger once a year, and when we need to kneel at the cross every day and love him and obey him. Do you recognize Jesus as your Creator? Do you see that Jesus is much more than a cute little baby in a manger? The baby grew up to demonstrate his love for you by dying on the cross. Jesus came to earth for you and me, but you must reach out and receive him to be adopted into his family. Will you accept him? The choice is yours. God is calling you out of darkness and into his light. Jesus is our friend. He's the dearest friend we shall ever have. He wants us to be his friend. He puts it like this in John 15:14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Because he is our self-sacrificing and loving friend, we show our friendship towards him by faithfully obeying his commands. We're not his friends if we rebel against him, or go beyond his word, or live in a worldly manner, or disregard his authority as Christ the Son of God. Our finite minds cannot comprehend all that is involved in the nature of Christ, but we can honor and praise him as the Son of God. The eunuch confessed that Jesus is the Son of God before he was baptized in Acts 8 and verse 37. May we always treasure this great truth in our hearts, and may we never be guilty of trotting the precious Son of God under our feet. Let us confess him with our lips and by our lives. So my dear friends, if you're not a Christian, won't you come forward and confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Then you'll be added to the Lord's church by the Lord himself. He's going to add you, the Lord himself. And then you'll be on that road that leads to heaven. Maybe there may be some here this morning who have left their first love, or maybe they sin in a manner that others are aware of. Wouldn't it be wonderful to leave this building knowing that Jesus comes back today? If he comes back today, you will go home to heaven and live with Jesus and the Father forever in bliss and in peace. If we can help anyone make their life right with God, would you come forward now as we stand and as we sing? Brother Bill.